Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anything else listening. My name is Drew Badger from The Big Scary Show, and welcome to The Big Scary News, an offshoot of The Big Scary Show where we bring you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry that you need to know, plus an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly sponsored by Froggy's Fog. Get all your fog products from frog juice to scents to foggers and more only at froggiesfog.com. And now, without further ado, here is the Big Scary News. We start out with this update from MaskFest. Mikey Rotella is returning to MaskFest with a vengeance. Born in New Jersey and currently living out his dreams as a monster maker in California, he's worked for a staggering amount of companies over the years. After getting a job working on the film Dogma at the young age of 15, he went on to work for companies such as Paramount Pictures, Universal Studios, Trick or Treat Studios, Distortions Unlimited, Don Post Studios, and the list goes on. Rotella's special effects film credits include Harbinger Down, Mission Impossible, True Blood, Tron Legacy, House of the Wolfman, Cowboys and Aliens, and more. And some of his makeup work can be seen in The Cabin of the Woods, The Taking of Deborah Logan, VHS, Viral, and more. Mikey's on board with Trick or Treat Studios as a Halloween mask sculptor and character designer and made the Alice Cooper mask, which will be available in time to wear this Halloween. He is also among the talented crew sculpting masks for Distortion Unlimited's Monster of the Month Club, and he was a guest sculptor on the Travel Channel's Making Monsters with Ed Marsha and Jordu. Mikey sculpted the giant Alice Cooper Feed My Frankenstein puppet head commissioned by Alice Cooper for his tour. It's guaranteed that he'll have plenty of frightening monsters and wild creations waiting for you all to see. For more information about Mask Fest, happening September 11th through the 13th at the Marriott East in Indianapolis, Indiana, visit www.maskfest.com. We have this news from the Haunted Barn in Staunton, Wisconsin. Hey everyone, this time around we're trying something new. We'll be randomly giving away tickets for the 2015 season. Also, we have some other very cool offers and discounts coming up that'll be announced closer to haunt season. Do you own a business? Do you have employees you would like to reward by bringing them out for a night of fun? We can custom tailor sponsorship packages, which not only include some nice advertising perks, but also tickets for you and your group. Please message us if you're interested in discussing options. There are a lot of new things going on around here, and we will periodically announce things when we start getting closer. For now, let's get started on building the likes so we can do some ticket giveaways. To like and share their Facebook page, visit facebook.com/thehauntedbarnstaunton. And that's Stoughton. We have this update from the Virginia Haunt Fest. The Virginia Haunt Fest is looking for sponsors and donations for this year's festival, especially from Virginia haunted attractions. Get in touch with us ASAP so we can add you to the list. You can get all the details at vahauntfest.com/sponsors.html. We have this news on Bizarre AC in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We've been planning, waiting, and tweaking. The original Bizarre AC in December 2013 brought an infection to Atlantic City, the likes of which the area had never seen. June 2014 brought you Bizarre AC 2, more guests, more activities, and larger crowds. Bizarre AC 3 will change the way that horror conventions are done forever. An immersive environment with experiences that will take an entire hotel. The Chelsea Hotel Atlantic City will be home to this Halloween time horror and pop culture freak show on October 16th through the 18th of 2015. Check out all the information on their Facebook page at facebook.com/bizarreac or their website, which is www.bizarreac.com. We have this news from the sci-fi series Ghost Hunters. The Sci-Fi Channel's hit series Ghost Hunters returns this summer with 13 new episodes. The show will remain in its Wednesday night time slot. Ghost Hunters first premiered on the Sci-Fi Channel on October 6, 2004. The series originally featured paranormal investigators Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson and followed them on cases as they investigated claims of paranormal activity with their paranormal research group, the Atlantic Paranormal Society. In the early seasons, Hawes and Wilson worked as plumbers for Roto-Rooter as their day job while exploring the unknown at night. When the series became popular, Hawes and Wilson quit working for the company full-time to focus more time for the series. Presently, they're considered honorary employees of Roto-Rooter. The conclusion of the Night series kicked off on the week of the 10th anniversary of the series last October. The series also celebrated its 200th episode. Grant Wilson made a special guest appearance and is rumored that he will come back for the 10th season of the series. We couldn't be more excited about entering a brand new decade of paranormal investigations with Jason Hawes, a refreshed TAPS team, and Ghost Hunters, Sci-Fi's alternative series development Senior Vice President Heather Olander said. Sci-Fi promised Ghost Hunter fans that the series would return for the 10th season in February. When that time came and went, fans wondered if the show had gotten canceled when there was no sign of the series. Sci-Fi recently put on their website that the series is returning in 2015, but had no specific time frame. Hawes announced on his Facebook page in March that the series will return to the network this summer. Sci-Fi has a whole new season of Ghost Hunters, but strangely hasn't aired it. Also, we're filming more, Hawes said last month. Ghost Hunters is the longest-running unscripted series on the Sci-Fi Channel, and the series is scheduled to return this summer for its 10th season. We have this update from the Scares at Care weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Foray will once again be joining us at Scares at Care Weekend Part 2. Ken will be hosting our costume contest with none other than Dee Wallace. If you've never seen these two in action as hosts, you know you're in for a real treat. For more information about the Scares at Care Weekend on July 24th through the 26th and the people that they benefit, go to www.scaresthatcareweekend.com. We have some news from the Headless Horseman Hayride and Haunted House in Ulster Park, New York, via Facebook. Attention, all past H5 actors. We are incorporating a new actor portal this year. This portal will allow us to better access each actor and place them in a position that benefits both H5 and the actor. All actors, returning and new, will also be required to go through an audition. This will also help with placement. Please go to the link mentioned and fill out the form. Although it has a choice for returning actors, this does not apply to us this year, as we're using this system for the first time. So everyone going to it will need to set up a new account. Thanks to you all, Darren. That link can be found on their Facebook page at facebook.com/headlesshorsemanh5. We have this interesting news on a documentary on H.R. Giger. One of the most influential artists in the history of sci-fi cinema, H.R. Giger, is the subject of a new documentary coming to theaters this month. According to an article from denofgeek.com, director Belinda Salin's Dark Star, H.R. Giger's World, focuses on the last years of the life of the Swiss surrealist who created the xenomorph in the original Alien movie, as well as the creatures and species, and whose paintings and sculptures have had a massive effect on horror, sci-fi, and rock music, goth culture, and much more. He also did some incredible designs for Alejandro Jodorowsky's never-produced version of Dune. The official synopsis reads, quote, "Both a mesmerizing introduction to Giger's oeuvre and a must-see for Giger devotees, Belinda Salin's definitive documentary Dark Star, H.R. Giger's World, shares the intimate last years of the artist's life and reveals how deeply he resided within his own artistic visions. Behind the shuttered windows and ivy-covered walls of his residence in Zurich, Switzerland, Dark Star brings viewers into Giger's mysterious realm, from the first skull he was given by his father at the age of 6 to macabre dinner parties with his close-knit team, to the grisly souvenirs from his time spent on the Alien set, and reminiscences about model Lee Tobler, Giger's one-time muse, whose suicide reverberates throughout his work. The film also addresses Giger's complex relationship to the art world, where he defied traditional categories and embraced personal commercial projects for musicians including Debbie Harry, Korn, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and the Dead Kennedys. Fittingly enshrined in a museum dedicated to his work, Giger's output includes sculpture, painting, drawing, film, and architecture, integrating meticulous technique with an instantly recognizable sensibility that has inspired generations of nightmares, unquote. The film will open theatrically in 5 cities on May 15th, expanding to more than 30 over the course of the month. This sounds like a must-see for fans of this master's dark and disturbing work. A full listing of theaters can be found at IcarusFilms.com. We have this news from the Haunted Hydro in Fremont, Ohio. If anyone is going to the Midwest Haunters or Great Lakes Fright Fest, this great educational and fun opportunity may just be for you. The Haunted Hydro in Fremont, Ohio, 2 hours from Midwest, 1 hour from Great Lakes Fright Fest, is having 3 amazing opportunities on Thursday, May 28th. Number 1, an educational intense learning opportunity for owners and operators and want-to-be haunt owners, taught by the highly successful haunt owner and operator Crazy Bob Turner, former president of the International Haunters Association, editor for Tourist Attraction Park Magazine, creative Hauntertainer University, and international talent scout for Hollywood Horrors in Sydney, Australia. Number 2, a guided behind-the-scenes tour throughout the day of our 26-year seasonal event. Number 3, an evening of fully functional operations of our 1911 power plant for all to enjoy. For further details, please visit facebook.com/thehauntedhydro or call us at 419-307-6985. This is a great educational and fun opportunity you do not want to miss. And finally, we have some makeup news from Penhurst Asylum in Spring City, Pennsylvania. Penhurst is currently in the market for a skilled haunt makeup artist with prior management experience to assume the role of makeup manager. This is a contracted position. Haunt makeup experience is required, and haunt makeup management experience is required. A potential applicant will possess a degree in makeup and/or special effects or equivalent experience in the haunt and horror world, extensive understanding of all aspects of haunt and horror makeup, including water-based, grease-based, alcohol-based, and airbrush makeup application, vast experience with prosthetic creation, design, and application, an organizational skill set for the smooth operation of a busy haunt makeup environment, including interviewing, assistance with hiring of makeup artists, scheduling, ordering, and organization of supplies, training, and overall duties, an artistic experience in the creation of prosthetics, masks, wigs, lookbook, complementation of the costume department, etc. Salary is commensurate upon experience and is open to negotiation. We are also currently in the market for skilled makeup artist. You can email your resume, portfolio, and or reel to penhursthauntedhouse@gmail.com. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Tonight, we have a pair of interviews with voice actors Alan Oppenheimer, who did the voice of Skeletor, and Charles Fleischer, who did the voice for Roger Rabbit, among many others, and were recorded at the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina, in March 2015.
And here we go.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Mad Monster Party here in Charlotte, North Carolina, chatting with celebrities and all sorts of cool things, and a lot of people have heard this man before and have seen him on several roles, but he's very well known for his voice work. He was in The NeverEnding Story. He had this little role in that cartoon back in the 80s, Masters of the Universe. He was Skeletor, I don't remember.
Skeletor, you fool, Skeletor.
Yeah, I think that might have been it. Thank you for telling me that. Mr. Alan Oppenheimer, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Here, deep breath.
Thank
deep
you.
Breath.
Well,
that's Merman.
There he is. There you go.
So how's the con been treating you? It's first time in Charlotte at Mad Monster. I don't know if this is your first time to our fair city, but looks like you've had lots of people coming and checking out all the cool stuff you've done and talking to you and things.
Well, people are wonderful. And this is my first time in Charlotte. I know the Carolinas.
Welcome to the sunny and warm South, where it's like 50 degrees and raining all day.
Yes. Well, it's better than if you lived in Albany or Rochester.
No comment.
Yeah. But the people here have been wonderful. Absolutely marvelous fans. And they know my history better than I do.
Really? They're coming up to you and saying, so back in this show, and number, and you're like,
And I say, well, if you said so, I don't remember, but if you said so, okay.
How is it being known primarily or known as a voice actor? I mean, you know, it's a face nobody recognizes, but that voice, oh, gosh, where have I heard you before?
Well, it's very rewarding. Of course, I just did... When we did these shows 30 years ago, we did them, you got paid, and you go home. Now, here it is 30 years later, and all of a sudden, all of these cartoons or reruns are very famous, and they want to see us. You know, I have a big theater background and a big television and motion picture background, so I used to be recognized for that. So to be recognized for something that you did, forgot you did, and now is resurrected, that's a miracle to me and very satisfying.
So was voice work kind of sort of as a side thing while you were working on your acting career? Because I hear a lot of actors say, well, if you can't get that part, do a little voice work and get your name out there, get the connections.
Well, when I started, there were about six of us in California and six in New York, and we had the whole thing sewn up, man. We would do 10 commercials a week, honestly. It was wonderful. Now it's much more difficult, about 17 or 20,000 people across the country
myself
who want to do this. Yes. So I'm glad I am in retirement, so to speak.
And I guess it's got to be rewarding to kind of see yourself on TV on like those retro cartoon channels and stuff where something may pop up. You might see a copy of The NeverEnding Story or an old Star Trek episode that you may have played or an old Transformers episode. And if you have kids, grandkids that come up and say, hey, I did that voice, and do they believe you?
No, of course they don't believe me anymore. They don't care. They don't care, no. Even when they were younger and I was doing it live, and their friends would say, oh, I saw your dad on $6 Million Man. And Jennifer would say, yeah, well, okay, well, all right, what else is new? Which is good. That's a good attitude for your kids to have.
So you're here with actually a couple of different voice actors, Charles Fleischer and John Kassir, and I understand you're going to be doing a Q&A panel this weekend. Have you guys worked together in doing something like that, or is this the first time you guys have ever been together working?
No, I met John when we got off the plane together. I never met him before. And Fleischer I've never met. So that starts in 45 minutes, that Q&A, and it'll be my first time to be with them, yeah.
Have you worked Q&A panels before? And if so, what kind of questions do you normally get asked?
Well, I have worked them, and I find it very satisfying. A lot of questions are, how did you come up with that voice? Things like that. That's the main question. And that's a very easy question to answer, especially for Skeletor, since I looked at the drawing originally, and it was that bony face. So I just imagined what a voice would sound like without skin, just a bone. And that's how I came up with that, you see? And... Oh, that sounds like sounds like Fred Allen or somebody, doesn't it?
And if you know who Fred Allen is and get the reference, email us, you might get a prize. Who knows?
So, well, most of it is your imagination. The picture, the cell drawing, and your imagination. And you may not come up with it right away, and you have to experiment, fool around, and take suggestions from the director, most of which I ignore, but they'll tell you so. And that's how these voices come about.
How was it working on the set of Star Trek episodes and things? Okay, you know, an absolutely legendary franchise. Was it like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually here working on this?
No, I felt like a fish out of water. It was like, to me, it was like a 3-hour makeup, and then going to the set and doing the scene. And I wondered, because I'm not a science fiction fan. I'm wondering, why am I here? What am I doing here? Well, I'll just say the lines the best I can.
And the rest is history.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to be attending any more cons in, say, the next 3 to 6 months where fans can meet you and purchase autographs?
In 3 weeks I go to Calgary, Canada.
For what event is that?
Well, it's one of these cons. I don't know whether it's a toy con or whatever it is, but I know She-Ra is going with me, and we haven't done one of these since we first started doing about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Anything else got coming on the pike? Any acting work or anything? You mentioned retirement a little bit ago.
Well, I'm retired. I don't want to do pictures or stage anymore. It takes too much of my time. I'm retired and having a great time.
That's what everybody who's retired tells me. It's like Saturday every day.
That's about the size of it.
Well, Alan Oppenheimer, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, live at the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, and we are out.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Let me get that. Here we go. Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. And going back, way back to the late 80s, I probably first saw this guy doing voice work for something, appearing on some movie here, and never really clicked until I saw a movie called Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Iconic character, legendary movie, Bob Hoskins, Jessica Rabbit, who made a man out of many a teen back then. And, of course, the iconic Roger Rabbit himself, played by none other than Charles Fleischer, who's sitting next to me right now. Mr. Fleischer, how has Mad Monster Party been treating you so far?
Fantastic. It's an extraordinary convention. I praise those who attend it as well as those who run it. Well done.
Do you frequent the convention circuit? I'll be honest with you, I've not seen your name on many others, so I'm curious if this is new to you.
I've been doing it for a couple of years. I have a really good time doing it, meeting people, and it's a really nice way to provide additional income and get a good understanding of what people appreciate your work.
Do you tend to go more towards comic conventions or sci-fi or fantasy? I know this is classified as a horror kind of pop culture.
Fortunately, I can fit into either one. You know, the fantasy thing, just through Roger Rabbit, and I've done a lot of horror titles, Nightmare on Elm Street, Bad Dreams, and, you know, Zodiac. Not quite a horror film, but certainly dark. So I've been in a lot of different films that have been genre hits, so that works out nicely for this whole kind of scenario.
Absolutely. As far as early career, were you more of an actor, or were you more of a voice artist that got into acting, or were you more of an actor that got into voice work, because you're kind of known for both?
Well, I'm an actor. I don't really even understand the term voice actor. You know, an actor's an actor. You do a part. I mean, I understand it in the way it's used, but I consider myself to be an actor, and that's I trained for that. And voice acting is, in some ways, more difficult because you can't use your presence. You can't just look at someone and communicate as a human can. So everything has to be in the voice and in that texture. So I enjoy whatever I'm doing at the time.
Is it more of a work is work kind of mentality, or is it more of I prefer to work in the comedy field, prefer to work more in the darker field, more dramatic? You are known more as a comic actor. I've seen you in things like Back to the Future 2, and actually I think I mentioned this before. I saw you on an episode of Welcome Back, Kotter, earlier this morning, ironically enough.
No, I love work. I feel not work is work, but work is a privilege. So I feel blessed anytime I get a job. And I like all forms of acting, whether it be comedy or drama, whatever. It's acting, you know. It's like you're a kid. You're a professional kid. What a kid do they play? Hey, let's play this. Let's do that. Let's do a voice.
Let's put on a costume. Let's do something funny.
Okay, when I grow up, I want to be a professional kid.
When the people have been coming up to you here at the Mad Monster Party, are they primarily remembering you for, say, Roger Rabbit or for Back to the Future or for any of your other roles?
It's a mix. There's obviously a lot of Roger Rabbit, and particularly with this convention, a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street as well. But I've had people, you know, from Zodiac to Kotter to things I don't even have pictures from, like Demon Knight.
Oh, wow.
Or Nightmare, or Dick Tracy.
That's right, you were in Dick Tracy. I remember that now. Was it Flat Top, the character?
No, I was just a reporter.
You were just a reporter in that, that's right.
Flat Top.
That was William Forsythe, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't me for sure.
I noticed you've been doing a lot of sketching during the show, and I noticed you've got these great artwork pictures. All of them have a red chair in them. Well, most of them I see a noticeable red chair. What's going on?
I have a red chair series. If you go to my Facebook page, I have our Instagram. Salvador Dali already had a melting clock, and after spending 3 years on one complicated painting, I was looking for an idea that would be symbolic, representational, and not as involved. So, a red chair in the middle of nowhere. That's interesting. Works for me, and a lot of people like it. Are you kidding me? Look at me. I'm doing an interview, but I'm taking a break to thank the people that work here. This is how good the people that work here.
The volunteers are exemplary here at Mad Monster,
believe me,
I must say.
She gets paid. She don't work for free. Thank you.
So anyway, how has that been received? Have people been asking about them? Have you been selling or anything going on?
I've sold a couple pieces so far. Yeah, which is, it's not really an art show, but I sell my prints after my stand-up act, so.
Oh, very nice. Speaking of stand-up, are you making any appearances anytime in the next, say, 3 to 6 months, or any more con appearances where fans can follow you and meet you?
I'll be in Las Vegas at the second week in April at Harrah's doing my stand-up. And my next con, I think, is probably in Atlantic City in May, I think.
Excellent. As far as movie appearances or anything, Ken, is there anything we can look to see you in the next, say, 6 months to a year?
Nothing that I can talk about at this time. However, you will be notified.
Excellent. Well, Mr. Charles Fleischer, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. I want to thank you again for taking the time.
Thank you for your professionalism.
With all this, I wish you nothing but success again. And thank you again for coming to the Mad Monster Party here in Charlotte. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
We'd like to thank Prelude to a Nightmare and the CD Dark Ride for providing the music for this episode. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Roundtable of Terror. Get all that and more only at BigScaryShow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for the Big Scary News.